Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, on this fifth day of the Omer, is Shabbos daf Lamed Tet. I'm going to try to get through two dafim today so that our Joburg crowd doesn't lose out on too much. So, let's start from the Mishnah, where we were up to on Lamed Chet Omud Beit. So far, the various elements that we've had to take into consideration have been extremely multifaceted. And we've spoken about instruments, we've talked about placement, we've talked about the fuel, and we've talked about when, and we've talked about what, in terms of Hatmon, or in terms of Chazara, or in terms of Shehiya. But one thing that we, interestingly enough, did not discuss is what type of energy. So we've been assuming all along that we're dealing with the Isser of Bishul. All of the fuels that we've discussed until this point have been chemical fuels. The question is, what if you use non-chemical fuels? So suppose you use nuclear fusion or you use nuclear fission, which happened to be extremely available to us because nuclear fusion is simply putting something outside in the sun and using it to heat and making a sun oven. And nuclear fission is very useful to us by simply using hot springs that come out of the earth or putting something in a uranium mine, and then you can get it to be heated. Is that Osir on Shabbos or not? Or is it only chemical heat that the Torah asks? So we have our Mishnah now that finally discusses this question. And one of the corollaries of this question is, what if the source of energy was taken from source A and it's now stored energy? So that's called toldot. Stored energy is toldot. So if this is the case, this is our Mishnah like this. You had a hot kettle, and now the kettle's not on the fire anymore, but you have the stored energy of the heat of the fire, and it's still in the water, which now contains that heat. You're not allowed to put a beitza on the side of that kettle, which is still hot, in order that it should get tigalgel. Now, you'll note that tigalgel does not mean fully cooked. Remember that a completely raw egg will not spin. The more that the egg, because the yolk moves and it absorbs the energy of the spin, it stops it from spinning. The more that the egg is hard, and that's how you could test it, actually, is by spinning it. So what we call an egg that is going to be partially roasted is that it spins. Shetigalgel. It's a spinning egg. The first stage of spinning the egg would still be what we would call a soft cooked egg, but it's not raw. So even that is usher to do on Shabbos, even though you're only doing it with stored energy. So there's two chidushim here, that an egg is considered to be cooked even when it's softly cooked. And furthermore, that stored energy is usher as if it's the energy itself. The other thing would be, now this is one case, but this case is talking about chemical energy. How about if you stored nuclear energy in it? What you did is, you took some towels, you put them outside in the sun until they got good and hot, and now you want to break open that egg onto those boiling hot towels and use it with stored energy of the sun. That's a question. So there the Chachamim say you cannot. Rabbi Yossi apparently holds that you can, because since you're allowed to cook with nuclear energy, you're also allowed to cook with the toldos of nuclear energy. But lo yatminena b'chol u'bavagrachim b'shvil t'tzalet. You cannot. Now this is, seems to be that Rabbi Yossi is made up for some reason, that if you have things that were heated by the sun, and they're not these towels, they're rather sand or dirt that you have on the road, and they're boiling hot, you can't put the egg under that to roast it. And that's a question. Why is he arguing on this case, and he's made in the first case? Because here, it's also toldot chama. So the nuclear fusion is called toldot chama. So is fission. And other issues are called the toldot ha'ur, which is fire, chemical fire. So ma'aseh, now once they had this brilliant idea of using fission for heating on Shabbos, standard bath water. What did they do? They buried a pipe of cold water that would carry cold water, and they put it through the Chametveria. Now, Chametveria are heated by nuclear breakdown in the earth. So therefore, they're not considered to be Toldot Ha'ur. They're considered to be the equivalent of Toldot Ha'chama. And because of that, they figured that they could run this pipe of cold water through the hot water of the Chametveria, which would then heat the cold water, and they get boiling hot, wonderful, easy-to-use water on Shabbos. And then you could go take a nice hot shower on Shabbos and so on. Amru lahem chachamim, well, we got bad news for you. If this you were running the water through that pipe on Shabbos, you have to be machmir midrabbanan to treat it as if it was hot water that you had heated in a fire, a chemical fire, on Shabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to use it, and you wouldn't even be allowed to drink with it. You couldn't use it even to wash off with. So not for showering, not for drinking. If you did this on Yontif, so that the water was heated on Yontif, that would have the same din as water that you boiled up on Yontif for the purposes of heating, eating, meaning to drink and to take a bath in. And over there that it is, you're allowed to drink it because, of course, you're allowed to heat water on Yontif for drinking, even on a fire. But you're not allowed to use it for showering. Now, we'll see why this is true because we're going to be introducing now an entirely new concept, which is called Gzeirat Merchatz. And we're going to see how we got into that awful position in which we needed to make a gezeira against bathing or bathhouses is where it started the problem on Shabbos and Yontif. Ibailo, what if you did actually leave that egg? Was that an Isser D'oraisa, or is the Toldo Ta'ur, which was stored in the heat of the kettle, is that a D'rabbana? Omer of Yosef Gilgel Chayav Chatat, Toldo Ta'ur is actually D'oraita. You would have to bring a Korban Chatas, and Omer Marbere de Ravina, yes, indeed, I can prove that from the Mishnah later on in our Masechet, where the Mishnah says what appears to be Beferish, Kol Shabbat, Bechamin, Bilifnei HaShabbat, Shorino to Bechamin, Bishabbat, Vechol Shaloba Bechamin, Milifnei HaShabbat. So anything, here we're talking about the type of things that are made usable for eating after you've salted them. And what you would do is you would soak them in hot water, and that hot water would finally dissolve the salt that was deep inside of them and would make them ro'oi to eat. So these things were preserved, long-term preserved, and that was the way that you got them ready to eat. So anything that you had already put into the hot water container before Shabbos, you're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos if it was enough before Shabbos to be eaten, even though it's going to get a little bit better. That doesn't matter. Additional making it better is not considered to be the equivalent of bishul. But kosher lo b'chamim lifnei HaShabbat, anything that was not put in hot water before Shabbos, medichino to b'chamim b'Shabbat, you can rinse it off on Shabbos. Now, the question exactly about the difference between rinsing and what rinsing means is not completely clear. It's a machlokas rishonim whether rinsing things from a kli rishon is the equivalent of putting into the rishon, in which case we'd have to learn rinsing it would mean rinsing from a kli sheni, which leads to all kinds of issues. But in any event, you can't put it into soak on Shabbos, but you can wash it off. But not everything, because there's some things that are completely and totally readied by just rinsing them off quickly with hot water. And that would be miliach yashan. Those are fish, small fish that has been salted for a long time. It doesn't take long to wash that off. And kulya sehispanin, which is, Rashi says, tunina, which people claim is Espanin, means from Spanish, which would mean it was a Spanish mackerel, which is still prepared in this way. And that is so easy to get ready that Hadachatan, please everybody do mute yourselves, Hadachatan is Gemar Melachtan. So over there, that would be the final thing that would do the cooking, and that would be Osir. So you see from here that even though it's only slightly done, rinsing and with hot water over here is considered to be their cooking. And so that means that we're considering something that makes the final step in can, making it roi for achila, that is the definition of its bishul. In which case, that would be true over here. That's how some understand the raya. Others understand the raya is that just like rinsing with hot water, where the hot water is not on the fire anymore, and it's only retaining the heat of the fire, and therefore it's only toldo sa'ur, is the same thing as putting it next to the mecham, which is only toldo sa'ur. As we introduce the sugya, both issues are up for grabs over here. One most understand is Rashi's problem, the other is the Ran's problem. However, the sugya supports both. There's two issues, and we're bringing a raya for both. So even though it's only slightly finished, it's ready to be eaten, that's considered to be cooking. And even though you only used hot water that had been previously heated and is now only retaining the energy of the fire, it's considered to be cooking, both dinner. Now, the Mishnah says that, according to Rabbi Yossi, even though the Tanakhama says, lo yivkeinu besudarim, according to Rabbi Yossi, there is no problem in utilizing toldos of other forms of energy. So nuclear energy would be okay as a tolda, even as a tolda. Now you could see why a tolda is worse than the original, rather non-intuitively, but you can understand yourself the problem. Somebody who sees you cooking in a microwave, let's say, is not going to confuse that with saying that you would be allowed to cook by a fire. But somebody who has no idea where the hot water came from, he doesn't know whether it was in a microwave or whether it was in a nuclear reactor like the sun. And all he sees is that right now you're using the hot water, which is the tolda of what you heated through other sources rather than chemical energy. He can easily get confused. And therefore, there may be grounds to be more machmir on the tolda than there is to be on the source of the energy itself. And we'll see that that's actually halakha l'maisa, that's true. You are allowed to cook with nuclear energy, but you can't use the water that you heated to cook something else because the tolda is more likely to be confusing. This, by the way, is the terrible problem, the unfortunate problem of the solar energy heating, which is so common in Israel that just about everybody has it, because you don't use the sun directly. You use the tolda of the waters that are going through your tank that are heating, and therefore it becomes usur because of toldat, the gezeira of toldat sachama to toldat saor. But otherwise, it would be completely mutter. Okay, in any event, I mean, I'm being a little oversimplifying because it's not quite that way, because the way that the solar heaters work is that they first heat a black piece of glass that absorbs the energy of the sun. They pass water through that, and then that water passes through the holding tank. But in any event, theoretically, it would have been possible. It doesn't work out practically.
Could so, Rebbe use the water that Rebbe heated now?
This is microwave water. What would Rebbe Barnea say about it? There's lots of people who say microwave water is dangerous to drink. Is it okay, Rebbe Barnea? And what if it was nuclear heated water? Then for sure they would say it's suicidal. How can you drink it? Just the word nuclear means it's dangerous, right? We'll pretend they don't have any atoms in their body. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, continuing on. So how do you explain the fact that Rabbi Yossi was matir putting out the towels in the sun, and he was not gozer because it was the toldos, that is to say, the storage energy of the sun? But then the other Mishnah says, and that's later on in the Masechet, almost at the end actually, Hoditznan notin tafshel l'toch habor b'shvil she'yesh amur. You're allowed to put something into a storage pit in order that's what they used as refrigerators. V'tamayim hayafim b'ra'im b'shvil she'yitzanenu. You can take good drinking water, put it into a dirty water pool, which is cool, in order to get it cold, and you can put cold water out in the sun. You're allowed to put cold water directly in the sun to heat it. And this is even if it boils, and it's in a sun furnace where you have these mirrors. That's fine. But that would mean that Stam Mishnah is only going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Is that true? That it's only going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi and not the Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan say you cannot use the towels. And here is where the Gemara makes this extremely important distinction. Please, Rabbi Isai, this is another one of your terminologies that has to be written down. The difference between toldos and between the actual source. Therefore, says Rav Nachman, in the sun itself, nobody would argue. Of course, you're allowed to cook in the sun because the sun is not the way that you cooked in the Mishkan where you use chemical heat and the sun uses nuclear heat. The only machlokas was in the tolda of the chama. Another thing that everybody agrees with is that if you have stored energy that's taken from chemical heat, everybody is meida that that's the same thing as cooking in the fire directly. Kulei amalo pligi, that's usur. The only machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachomim is the stored energy of the sun. So do we say marsava gazrina toldota chama or tu toldota ur? The Rabbanan who asks are using those heated towels. They say that's because you can't tell in the stored energy what the initial source of the energy was. Therefore, we have to answer all stored energy because there's no way for people to know that it was stored from some other source rather than chemical fire. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, we do not. Mar sova lo gazrina. It's since we're all agreed that you can cook in the sun. What is the difference between the energy of the sun that's stored in the towel and this cooking in the sun directly? I mean, it should be even better to cook in the stored energy. Okay. Unfortunately, we paskin like the Chachomim. So it's also to cook betoldos chama, even though everyone is meida, that it is mutter to cook directly in the chama. Now, we also said that the next case of the Mishnah, which introduced taking an egg and burying it under the sand, which is boiling hot from the sun, that that's osur, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't say a peep. He doesn't say that that's okay, the same way that he said it was okay to use those heated towels. Why not? Why in the world doesn't Rabbi Yossi argue about this case? Isn't it the same thing as the towels? We have two possible differences. Rava says the difference is that Rabbi Yossi is moda because this is like hatmana. And since you're not allowed to be matmin in something that's hot when it was heated by the coals, that's the main problem with hatmana is the remetz if you're matmin in a dover that is meisif hevel. So if somebody sees you covering up this egg, is going to think that what you're trying to do is be matmin. But you're not allowed to do that, obviously, in remetz. So even though normally, maybe, according to Rabbi Yossi, I wouldn't have been gozer told us, over here it looks so much like a normal hatmana beremetz that we had to aser it. Rabbi Yossi says, that's not the problem. The problem is, Rashi's girsi here is, shema yaziz afar mimekomo. Because, look, if you're going to have to dig, then if you dig, you're going to be making a guma on Shabbos, which is osur midiraisa. So you'll come to be over an isur midiraisa. And therefore, we have to be geyser, because not every place has loose sand, which is not a problem for you to put the egg under, but not every place has loose sand or loose dirt that doesn't require digging. And because of that, we were geyser. What's the difference between Rabba's approach that it's gezeira shemayatmin beremetz and Rabbi Yosef's approach that maybe he's going to come to move, to make a hole in the ground? The nafkamina would be in a place where you have an entire area of loose sand or loose earth. So according to Rabba, that's osur because it still looks like hatmana beremetz. And according to Rabbi Yosef, it's mutter because there's no gzeira that he's going to move the offer. Meisve. The problem with Rabbi Yosef, in which he says that moving, that we have got a problem of moving the dirt, is from this brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, you're allowed to roast an egg on a hot tin roof. So megalgalin beitza agabe gag roteach. But ein megagalin beitza agabe sid roteach. So a hot tin roof is heated by the sun, and therefore it's toldot hachama, and you're allowed to roast it there. But you can't roast an egg on lime. Lime is heated by a fire. It comes out of the furnace. And therefore, even though Reb Shimon Gamliel is meida to Reb Yossi, nonetheless, he holds that you can't. And we don't make a gezeira. Obviously, you can't do it with sidroteach. So now let me understand this. If the problem is Lamandi Omer Gzera Shema Yatmin Beremet, the way Rabbah understood why Rabbi Yossi was Meida in the case of of sand. So over here, a hot tin roof, why would I have to be Gozer? I mean, it doesn't look in the least bit as if I'm being Matmin Beremet. But if the problem is Shema Yaziz Afar Mimekomo, then you should even worry about roasting on a hot tin roof, because oftentimes there's some stuff on the roof that you might move out of the way. Oh, come on, Stam Gag, let's be offer. I mean, a normal hot tin roof doesn't have offer on it that I should make a gezeira. That's easy to explain. Okay, Tashma, but what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah talks about the story of Anshe Tveria. What did they do? They buried a pipe of cold water, running water pipe, inside the Chamei Tveria, using the heat of the Chamei Tveria, which is nuclear heat, in order to cook it, and the Chachomim asserted it. And Rabbi Yossi did not argue, right? It says there was a maisa. When you say there was a maisa ba'anshe Tveria, it's mashma that it's going directly on the previous piece. The previous piece was saying that even Rabbi Yossi is maida, that you're not allowed to put the egg under the sand or under the dirt on the road. And that maisa, there's the same story in Tveria. Mute what? I don't see. The newcomers? Yeah, I don't know who joined out. 1 second. Somebody joined. Somebody did not mute. Right, let me see if I can get that here. And they changed it now in the new Skype here. All right, fine. Got it. Okay. There's a universal setting that everyone that comes in is automatically muted in the beginning. So I don't know why it didn't work for them. Okay. So in any event, the case of Anshe Tveria was that they went ahead. They put the pipe through the heated water, and apparently that was the raya to Rabbi Yossi, and that it's considered to be as if it was done on Shabbos. So how do you explain this? Because even though it's Chamei Aor, Chamei Tveria are the equivalent of the Shemesh. We're going to treat it that way. And Rabbi Yossi apparently is saying that that's the same thing. Now, if you tell me, like Rabbah, that it was a Gezerah Shema Yatmin Beremet, so okay, over here is the same thing. This looks like Hatmana. Why? Because I buried the pipe under the water, so I can understand why I make Gezerahs Legabe Hatmana. All right. But if you're going to tell me that the Gezerah is, according to Rabbi Yossi, because maybe I'm going to move something and make a hole, what does that have to do with putting a pipe underwater? It's ridiculous. There's no connection at all between the story of Rabbi Yossi, who asked cooking the egg in the sand, and the story of Chamei Tveria. Zero relationship. So obviously, Ma'ika L'Meimar. So apparently, Rabbi Yossi is wrong. It's not because of the question of Mezis Afar, like Rabbi Yossi said. No, says the Gemara, you don't understand. This story about Ma'isa Ba'anshe Tveria was not meant to be a direct continuation of what we were talking about before. It was not a reference to the case of Rabbi Yossi. It was actually going back to the Reisha. So Misavrin Maisa Tveria was going on the Seifa. No, it was going about Lo Yafkeinu B'Sudarim V'Rabbi Yossi Matir. So we were bringing the story of the Chamei Tveria against Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanan were the ones who were saying it. And the Rabbanan say, so according to you, Rabbi Yossi, who are Matir told us Chama, how in the world do you understand the fact that the Rabbanan answered them, even though Maisi Tveria was told us Chama, and the Rabbanan answered it? According to you, it should be Mutter. And Omar Lahu, Ahu told out Urhu. So the way that you can understand that is that actually it's not the same at all. I mean, we're putting this in, right? This would be the way that Rabbi Yossi is going to have to explain this. Rabbi Yossi said, no, that's not the point, because Chamei Tveria is considered to be fire. Why fire? Because, again, the idea of Chamei Tveria is that they are expressive of the heat of Gehinnom. The heat of Gehinnom is always referred to in the Pasuk as a big fire. So if it's a big fire, we see it as the equivalent of a chemical fire. Now, Tosis points out elsewhere that this obviously is not meant to be taken seriously. In, for instance, let's say somebody gets a burn from Hamitveria, yeah? And that burn, there's a question, he gets a nega in that burn. So remember that there's a fundamental difference in terms of itztarfus between a nega that is a nega in shchin or a nega that's a nega in michve. The only other place that the Torah makes a difference between nuclear energy and chemical energy is in the sugya of tzoras. So over there, if the burn is from a chemical source, it's considered to be a michve and not a shchin. But if it's from nuclear energy, it's considered to be a shchin. And the Gemara in Chulin says it's considered to be a shchin if it's from Chamei Tveria. So Tosis points out that obviously that means that when we said it's Ur Shel Gehinam, it doesn't mean that literally we view it as the as Or of Eish. It was the Gabbai Shabbos that we said that as this Chumra. Omer of Chista. Another fascinating is the thing that you learn from the Tveria story is that you see Mimaisish also Anshe Tveria. And the Rabbanan came along and they said, no, you are not allowed to drink that water. You see from there that the Isser of Hatmona, Bidavar Hamosif Hevel, even though it was done Miba'od Yom, because they put that pipe in on Friday and they turned the water on Friday. And nonetheless, it was usher to drink. So you see from there, this is one of the turuts in the Tosis brings, and it's the easiest way to understand the Gemara. You see from there that we have to cancel completely any concept of hatmana in a Dover HaMosif Hevel. Because Tosis points out, what do you mean? From the Mice of Anshe Tveria. It's a Beferish Mishnah. Bametomnim, Bamentomnim. I don't understand. We had the Mishnah before. We talked about hatmana. What do we need Tveria for? But the point is, it never said anywhere what the din is of something that you had been matmin. And this Mishnah shows that if you had been matmin, which is essentially what was done with this pipe, you wouldn't be allowed to use it. That we never saw before. So from here comes the complete bittul of using something, even though it had been prepared from Erev Shabbos, it's not allowed to be used. Omar Ula, Ula says, we paskin like the people in Tveria. Not like the Chachomim, and we are matir using the Toldah Sa'ur. And therefore, we go like Reb Yossi. Amar le Reb Nachman, it's too late, buddy. They already busted that pipe, and you could bust your psak. Kvar tavrino anshe Tveria l'sinu layu. They've already busted that pipe, and don't use it anymore, and you have nobody to be seimech on, so forget about your nice ideas of a hot bath on Shabbos. Anyway, let's get to... Sorry?
And we use our urns. What's the difference between our urns that we use on Shabbos? Tita before Shabbos. Our hot water from our urns.
Yeah, this is Hatmana. This is a completely different Gezerah. You're confusing different types of heating. There's the Isser of Hatmana, and there's the Isser of Bishol, there's the Isser of Chazora, there's the Isser of Shia. These are all different things. So the next thing that we had was this Maisa, and it said that the Chachomim say you're not allowed to wash your body in it. Now, what does that mean? What type of washing is Osir? My Rechitza. Are we talking about washing your entire body, meaning taking a bath or taking a shower? The Chachomim needed to tell them, let's treat that like Chamin Shehu Chamu B'Shabbat. Who the Asurin? It's the only reason is because it was Chamin that were heated on Shabbos. And if I didn't treat it like Chamin that were heated on Shabbos, if it would be Chamin that he would heat it on Erev Shabbos, all of a sudden then it would be Mutter. But that's not true. Because it says Beferish in Abraita that Chamin Shulchamu, even on Erev Shabbos, the next day you can only use that water to wash your hands, your feet, and your face. But you cannot take a shower with it. You cannot take a bath with it. So if the Chachamim wanted to aser it, why in the world did they say, treat it like water that you heated on Shabbos? Even if it wasn't water that was heated on Shabbos, you couldn't take a bath. Therefore, when they said you can't use it, they must have meant you can't even use it for Ponav, Yodav, Veraglav. But that's not true. Because look at the last piece over here. If it was heated on Yontev, the Chachomim said to them, to the Anshei Tveria, if it was heated on Yontev, then it would be treated like water that was actually heated on Yontev, even though you put the pipe in before, and you would not be allowed to wash with it, but you could drink with it. Now, what do you mean you're not allowed to wash with it? Does that mean that our mission is going like Beit Shammai? That you're not even allowed to wash your hands and your feet and your face, because now you're saying that's the meaning of the Mishnah, on Yontif? But that's not true, unless you're like Beit Shammai. Lema Tanan Stam Ke Beit Shammai, the Tanan, because we have the famous Machlokas in Masechet Beitza, where Beit Shammai Omrim, you can't warm up water on Yontif for your feet. You can use them if they were ru'uyim l'shtia. Whereas Beit Hillel says that's mutter. So if you're saying that our Mishnah is only talking about washing your hands, face, and your feet, it's got to be going according to Beit Shammai. So no matter how you read it, it doesn't make sense. If it's referring to bathing in it, then it would be also even from Erev Shabbos. If it's referring only to hands, feet, and face, then it would be only going like Beit Shammai. Omer Avika Bar Hananya, let me explain what we're talking about. We're talking about showering, okay? We're not talking about bathing. And that's the difference. We're talking about Lishtatev Ben Kogufo Askinan. And it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, as we'll see in this brighter. Detanya, Lo Yishtatev Adam Kogufo Ben Bechamin Ben Mitzonin. You're not allowed to take a shower on Shabbos, even in cold water, according to Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Shimon is matir with cold water, or even with hot water that was prepared before Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can't use hot water for a shower on Shabbos, but you can use cold water. So our Mishnah would be going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachomim would say, listen here, guys, if you heated this stuff up on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to take a shower with it. That's all that it's saying, which is fine. Amar Rav Chisda, this whole question, the machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, about using hot water is only talking about if the hot water is in a container of some kind. But if it's in a pool, then for sure everybody is made that you are allowed to use it. Because according to, we're going to see that we're going to be getting to this in a moment, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the question over here was what's called the Gezerat Merchatz. And that means they included in the Isser of taking a Merchatz, going into a bathhouse, they included even showering with water that was heated from before Shabbos because of the Chashash that people will think that you heated it on Shabbos. And they might, obviously, people know you can't literally burn, but cook it up. But people might think, as many people do today, they might think that you're allowed to run the hot water on Shabbos, mixing it with cold water, thinking that the issue is that it's okay to mix, you know, as long as I didn't actually heat the water. And of course, mixing a little bit of cold water and hot water is actually boiling it, which is the big problem of our using our water heaters, our geysers on Shabbos. And that is a problem. So we're chayshed that people might think that's okay. But if it's in the ground, that is generally heated by ground water, by hot water. And over there, people will not assert, will not make that mistake. So, Bekarka Divya Kol Mutter. What do you mean, Bekarka Divya? That was in Tveria. The Maisa of Anshei Tveria was water in the ground. And the Rabbanan said, you can't use it. Okay, sorry, I said that wrong. The only machlokas is if it's in the ground, but if it's in a kli, everybody holds it would be usher to rinse off with it because of the gzeir of merchatz, which we will be getting to. Omar Rabba Barbachanam, Rabbi Yochanan, that's how we paskin, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, it would be usher to go ahead and take even a shower on Shabbos, even if it was heated before Shabbos. Now, Lemaisa, that does not aser cold water. However, it's become a minhag not to use even cold water. Okay, now, the question was, as Rabbi Yosef asks Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, are you sure you heard those words from Rav directly, from Rabbi Yochanan directly? Or did you infer that? Beferish mi'alecha, mi'chol ha'shmi'alecha. But why does he suspect that it was only inferred? Where would it have been inferred from? Where is the missing Rebbe over there? Where would it have been inferred from? Go scream. Well, I'll tell you. My claw, like, here's where I would have inferred it from. Because Omrib Tanchum, Omrib Yochan, Omrib Yanai, Omar Rebbe, that koma kom shatamotze shnaim chalukim v'yechad bachriya, halakha kedivrei ha-machriya. In all places, we have three shitot, and one of them is smack bang in the middle. You go according to the one who's in the middle. Now, a machriya means, like we had earlier, remember we had the question when we were dealing about kule matlonios, which were these little pieces of rags that you had set aside to use as a potholder. So we had over there three different dargas. If you throw it into a garbage afterwards, it's not makabel tuma. If you put it into a box in which you keep it in order to be able to constantly use as your potholder, then everybody's meida that it is considered to be still shayach to be makabel tuma. The machlokus was if you put it on a peg or if you put it behind your door instead of putting it in the garbage pail. So over there we had three shitot, and we had Rabbi Akiva right in the middle, in which, well, in the peg it's usser, but behind the door it loses. I say usser, but it's makabel tuma. Behind the door it's not makabel tuma, which is midway between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So comes along Rebbe to say, look, in all cases, now how does that work? It works by simply adding the third opinion to both sides on the scale. Because he's got one person who agrees with him in one case, so now that makes two against one in that case. He has another person who agrees with him in the other case, which means two against one in the other case. So no matter how you look at it, the one in the middle is essentially being machria, the halacha, to be the way he's reading, because he'll always have two people on his side against one. Says Rebbe, that's the general rule, but not in the case of Kule Matlonios that we had earlier, because over there, even though Rebbe Eliezer is Machmir, Rebbe Yeshua is Mekil, and Rebbe Akiva is the Machria, we do not paskin like the Divrei Machria for two reasons. First of all, Rebbe Akiva was a Talmud of Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, and a Talmud cannot be Machria as an important additional opinion with his Rabbein, because he simply is brought to the opinion of Rebbe Yeshua on one side and Rebbe Eliezer on the other side. So the whole mechanism of Machria breaks down. And not to mention the fact that, remember, Rebbe Akiva changed his mind at the end. Remember we brought a raya that Rebbe Akiva was Hadar Belagabi Rebbe Yeshua. Asks the Gemara, and Imich Lolamai, so what is Rabbi Bar Bachana? I mean, what's the difference if he said over that Rebbe Yochanan said it through this, right? What's the difference? I mean, why do you care that you're asking? You sure you heard it? What do you care if I heard it? It's clear that this would be true. No, because maybe the rule that Rebbe gives about a machria is only true where all of the shitas appear in a mishnah, like the case of Kule Matlonias. But in a brisa, like we have over here with Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon, it may be that we don't view that as being a machria that we can rely on. So if Rabbi Bar Bachana didn't hear Rabbi Yochanan say beferish that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and he was jumping to conclusions that, well, it must be the halacha because it's a machria, he may be totally wrong. That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Did you hear it? Now, come on, fess up, man. And Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, I heard it word for word from his mouth, man. I did not figure it out myself. On a beferish mealy, Rabbi Yochanan definitely paskined exactly like I said, like Rabbi Yehuda.